If you have your Bible this morning, and I hope you do, would you please open them with me? We will be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 27, which can be found on page 1676 in your pew Bibles. That's John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. This is the first weekend of Advent. It's a time when we look forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior. But it's also a time when we reflect on the promises of God. And we have to ask ourselves when we're doing that, do we really trust in the Lord? This is a question that we've been asking ourselves over the last few months. And as we start asking it more in our own lives on a daily basis, we're going to realize that as God draws us closer to him, we're going to continue asking more questions. We're going to continue digging in deeper. Asking that question, do I trust in the Lord? It's a question that the Israelites should have been asking themselves when they heard that the Messiah was coming to earth. You even had Magi traveling great distances following a star because they knew that there was a king that was coming. And yet those who called themselves the sons and daughters of God, those who called themselves the people of God, they just didn't get it. They didn't get it because even though they said they were the chosen people of the Lord, they never really knew the Lord. And that's a sad realization right there. A realization they didn't get until they were face to face with God in heaven and he looked at them and said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." This is why we're looking at this whole concept of what Jesus really calls his followers. Jesus' followers were not called Christians. They were called disciples. And hopefully by now we have a better understanding of what a disciple is. Hopefully by now you can say, yeah, just calling myself a Christian is not enough. Because calling myself a Christian can be defined however I want to. Anyone can define Christian in thousands of different ways, and we do that all over the country and all over the world. Hopefully, our eyes have been open to the fact that we're really called more than just a Christian. We're called a follower of Christ. We're called a disciple. But please don't panic if you haven't been living a life that reflects what being a disciple is all about. As I mentioned last week, the Western Church has had a hard time getting solid pastors into churches. And that's because, at least up until the 1950s, there was an honor associated with being a pastor. Don't get me wrong. It's still an honor to be called a pastor. It's still an honor to be called by a child of God who's called to lead the church. But it's also just an honor. It's an honor and a privilege to be called sons and daughters of our Lord. What I'm saying with this struggle that we've had with getting solid pastors in the church is this. There was a certain prestige when it came to being a pastor. This is why the pastorate was the healthiest job to have up through the 50s. People respected the pastor. They never talked back to the pastor. People talked about how great their pastor was, and that's why egos were stoked. I've had to tell my elders not to say I do anything good. I don't want my ego stoked. I have a big head. I have an ego problem. I'm aware of this. But because of all these pastors out there, division in the church went rampant. We saw three divisions in the congregational church between the 1940s and the 1950s. The Baptist churches had dozens and dozens of splits over the years. And this is all because of theological differences. How can the average person in the church understand or really know which way is right when we keep creating more ways to follow Jesus? 2017 marks the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. The Congregational Church is a direct offspring of the Reformation, starting somewhere around the 1600s. The whole concept of the Reformation was to get back to Scripture and Scripture alone. We need to follow the Word of God. Many quote-unquote Protestant churches, Protestant pastors today say they depend on the Word alone. They say they depend on the Scriptures alone, and that cannot be true, because if it were true, we would not have 40,000 denominations around the world who keep dividing themselves. So how can millions, literally billions of followers of Christ understand what it really means to follow Christ? Especially when we've created legalistic, health and wealth, social, liberal, charismatic, and holiness gospels. The reason why we have all of these is because these denominations are only focusing on the Scriptures that appeal to them. They interpret the rest of the Scripture, the rest of the Bible, on these few Scriptures that they like. A few examples of that is, the liberal church really loves the social justice gospel. They talk about how Jesus loved everyone. They focus so much on love that they've kicked the whole concept of the wrath of God out. They kick out the fact that sin is repulsive to the Lord, which is why we needed Christ in the first place. The charismatic church overfocuses on speaking in tongues. When Paul said that he would like us to all speak in tongues, but he would rather us prophesy. The charismatic church throws out the fact that everyone else in Scripture who had the Spirit fall upon them, not all of them spoke in tongues. But they're also leaving out all the other gifts of the Spirit. The congregational church, we would rather focus on traditions. We would rather focus on what makes us feel good. We are known around the country and probably around the world as the frozen chosen. The Congregationalists and the Presbyterians are the frozen chosen. We have this head knowledge of Scripture, but we don't always allow the Spirit to come alive in our mainline churches, which is why we need to realize that if Jesus is the Word, and if Jesus called his disciples to follow him, we have to remember these disciples understood Scriptures in depth. They had an understanding of all the theological differences of the day that spanned millennia. These early disciples were able to critique Scripture. They knew it inside and out, even if they hadn't memorized it. So if we have churches today that are picking and choosing verses that they like, it is understandable that most of those people who call themselves Christians don't know what it really means to follow Christ. They are following teachers who pick and choose Scripture, even when those people are telling you that they have scriptural background for it. You can't pick and choose what you want out of the Scripture. You have to take it all in as the Word of God, and you have to understand the train of thought that's all throughout Scripture. Everything from Genesis to Revelation. You have to understand this train of thought of what God is trying to convey to us, because once we start to get that, we start to understand the heart of our Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that these quote-unquote Christians are not disciples, but what it means is, it's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:2. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for it. Paul here is talking to the church in Corinth. This church had veered away from the path, and there is still a way for this church to correct its course. Just like there's still a way for the church in America and the church around the world to correct its course. And the way we correct our course is this. We look to Christ. But we don't just look to Christ. We follow Christ in everything we do. So when you hear something new from Scripture, when you hear a new verse or a new idea on it, don't just take my word or any other pastor's word for it. Pull out your Bible. Read it. Go home. Wrestle with these Scriptures. Seek the Lord. Because when you hear something new, you're learning more about the love your Heavenly Father has for you. Today's Scripture comes just after another famous verse that many of us have probably memorized. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Just a few verses before our scripture starts today. The way, the truth, and the life. This is the phrase that the first century Jew understood when they were thinking about their Bible. Today's scripture also comes just before another verse, the one about how Christ is the vine and how we are the branches. Look at how Jesus describes this. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. Every branch that bears no fruit, which is why Jesus tells us we can judge a tree by its fruit. Do you have fruit? True followers can tell if a person is a follower or not by the fruit. But it's not just true followers that can tell. Unbelievers can tell. Because a person with no fruit looks like the world. They gossip, they bicker, they pick fights. They act just like everyone around them because they are of the world. Even if they go to church on a regular basis. Chapter 13, just before this, what we're going to learn is that this whole chunk from chapter 13 to chapter 19 are the final days of Jesus' life. Chapter 13 starts off with, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come and that he was going to leave to be at the Father. All these verses are chunked together. Everything that is written from 13 to 19 are in the last few days of Jesus' life. And if we're serious about following Jesus, we have to understand that these chapters are important for us. Anytime someone goes on to be with our Heavenly Father, we want to hear what their last words are. We want to know. Most of us desire a blessing from our parents or from our grandparents before they pass away. This is Jesus' last words to the church before he passed away. And John was inspired to write all of this, 13 through 19, because as Jesus' final words, they're of vital importance for his disciples to remember. Today's verse starts off with this, or scripture starts off with this. If you love me, you will obey what I command. We're hopefully beginning to understand. We're hopefully beginning to get a clear idea of what a real follower, what a real disciple of Christ looks like. We have all been called to go and make more disciples. And this is why discipleship class in the church is unnecessary. We all have the call. You already know what you're commanded to do. You already know that you're called to go out there and call people to Christ. And if we remember what Jesus said at the very end of the Great Commission, then we begin to see how it's possible for us to go out there as disciples. Jesus says, I'm with you always. But we're not just commanded to go out there and make disciples. While this command might be the most important command that Christ has given us, especially since go out and make disciples of all the nations was the very last thing he said before going up to heaven, we also have to remember one other command he gave us. They will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. That can be found in John chapter 13, verse 35. How can any of us expect to be a disciple? How can any of us expect to be a witness for the Lord if all we're doing is bickering? If we're causing strife all the time? If we can't get along? How can we be an example and point people to Christ if all we care about are our own preferences? It's why spiritual leaders in the church need to call out those who are causing problems in the church. And if the so-called spiritual leader are quote-unquote still on the milk, then who in the church is going to call anyone out? The early church held one another accountable. And the early church, because they held one another accountable and because they were disciples, they drew people in. They were pointing people to Christ. They were being disciples, but they drew people in because of how they loved one another. This is how they changed the world. Those that followed Jesus gave everything they had to the other believers. They lived with one another, and that was attractional. Did you catch that word? It was attractional. The way the body interacted together drew more people in. People wanted to know more about what this whole Christian thing was about. They wanted to know, and we have to remember, by this time, Christian was a derogatory word. It wasn't something you, as a follower, wanted to be called. But these outsiders wanted to know more about these Christians, these goody-goodies. And in a world of cruelty and hate, the early church showed a love. They showed a compassion. And that comment right there, that observation, comes from an atheist today who studies ancient cultures. We should be showing a love and a compassion to one another and also to everyone around us. We are commanded to love one another and we're commanded to make disciples. And we have to remember loving each other sometimes means we have to call one another out when they're not living in a way that reflects Christ. If Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit, you should be reflecting Christ in everything you do. And that's why Christ goes on here. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. For those who are really, truly disciples, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. All disciples have the Holy Spirit living in you. They have all disciples have everything. You have all you need right now living inside of you to go out and make more disciples because you have the Holy Spirit. All true disciples have everything in them already they need to go out and love other people, to love other disciples. You have the Spirit in you. That enables you to love other disciples who sometimes are hard to get along with. Because we're still human. We can't forget. Christians sometimes annoy other Christians. And it's because of our personality differences that we sometimes annoy other people. We make mistakes at times. The flesh sometimes wins out. And these personality differences, these mistakes that we make, this is why we need the body of Christ to walk alongside us, to point us to Christ at all times. We can't just come to church on a Sunday morning. We need to be communing with the body of believers all the time. This is why we need to start small groups. We need groups of people at the church who are meeting on a weekly basis, sharing a meal, having a devotional, praying for one another. But we also need groups of people who are living life together. This is something the body has done since the beginning of time. They met with each other. They had small home churches, and then they met in the communities. It's hard, almost impossible, to follow God if all you do is go to church on a Sunday morning a couple times a month. It's hard to walk the walk when you only see your brothers and sisters about 6 hours a month, when the world is fighting you and screaming at you for 720 hours a month. Do we really think 6 hours is enough? Christ goes on, he says, he will not leave you as an orphan. He will come to you. We can't think we can do this church thing on Sunday mornings and then leave it at that. Christ has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, which makes it so that we're not alone. Christ has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us so that we can commune with the body of believers, building one another up so that we're not alone. We used to have this notion, and we still do on some instances, that when someone leaves us, when someone passes away, when someone moves out of the area, it used to be that they were gone for good. For those that have moved out of the area, technology has made that easier. We have Facebook, we have Skype, we have cell phones. But Jesus, he didn't leave us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit, Christ is in you right now if you are a follower of Christ. I was listening to a pastor this past week. He was talking about this verse and he said, when Jesus walked the earth, individual disciples would be able to ask Jesus one question at a time. And he would answer one question at a time. But now that Christ has been lifted up, now that he's in his glory, now that we have the Spirit in us, we have instant access to the Lord. There is no line to wait in. Christ is going to answer us every time, and we have to ask ourselves, have we dulled our senses when it comes to listening to Christ? Have we dulled our senses so much by being in the world that we can't hear Jesus when he answers us? That right there is an important question. We need to ask ourselves this. The early disciples, they knew the Bible inside and out, and we spend so little time with the Word. We spend so little time in prayer. We spend even less time with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So how do we expect we can hear from God if we're not spending time with God? How can we expect to do anything in the Lord if we're not listening to the Lord? We are called to pray continuously. We're called to be in communion with the Lord at all times. And Jesus goes on, he says to his disciples, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, and you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Christ is talking directly to his disciples right now, and they still didn't get what Jesus was talking about. This is why Jesus spoke so much towards the end. His disciples still weren't getting it, so don't feel bad if we're not getting it. But this is why John was inspired to write all of this down. Jesus knew, even though the disciples didn't know it yet, that he was going to go to the cross in just a few short days. Jesus knew that his time with his disciples were short, and that these last few days were so important for the disciples. They needed to hear what Jesus had to say. They needed to let it soak in, because in just a couple days, these disciples that were holding on to Christ, that were following him on a daily basis, were going to scatter all throughout the area because Jesus was arrested. And Jesus is telling them, the world can see me right now. The world is walking. They can walk up to me and touch me. A woman was healed by touching his cloak. The world can hear me speak. He had thousands of people speaking. And what Jesus is saying is that in a few short days, he's going to die. And then a few days later, he's going to rise again from the grave, and the only people that are going to be able to see him are his true followers. The only people that can hear Jesus today are the same people that could hear Jesus 2,000 years ago after he rose from the grave. The only people that can hear and see Jesus are those who are followers of Jesus. And Jesus tells them, I and the Father in one. We're one. This is the great mystery of the Trinity. It's all summed up right here. The Lord of all creation had to come to earth. He had to take the penalty for our sins to redeem us so that we can be made right with our Lord. And for those who are truly his, they get this. But they don't get it just intellectually. Those that see this get this throughout their whole beings, because the Holy Spirit is living inside of them. And because the Holy Spirit is in them, they love one another. Because the Holy Spirit's in them, they go out and they make more disciples. They obey the commands of Jesus. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever has my commands and obeys them. Remember, has my commands, obeys them. He is the one who loves me. Are we obeying Christ when we're not going out and making disciples? Are we obeying Christ when we don't love one another in this church, but also our other brothers and sisters in the Lord? Are we obeying Christ when we think it's okay to just hang out with the body of believers on a Sunday morning for an hour or so? Or when we think we can follow Jesus and not be a part of the body of believers? Are we obeying Christ? Jesus says, those who obey my commands, those are the ones that love me. Are we obeying Christ? The answer is simple. The answer is no. We're not loving Jesus when we're not loving one another in the church. When we're not loving one another here at this meeting house or any other meeting house in the area, or any other meeting house around the world for that point. This is around the world. This is where our tithe goes sometimes. We have people in China. We have people in Africa. We have people in Europe that we're supporting. We're helping them out. And when we don't tithe as a body of believers, do we love the Lord and obey his commands? But it's not just there. We're not loving the Lord when we're not hanging out with other believers. We don't love the Lord when we're not building one another up. We don't love Jesus when we nitpick, I can't even say that word right now, tryptophan, based on personal preferences, because it's not about us. It's about Christ all the time. We're not loving Jesus when we think we can go to church every once in a while and not commune with the body of believers. And no, we're not loving Christ when we are not, each and every one of us, out there making disciples. That's what Jesus says. It's not what Pastor Will says. It's not what any other pastor said. This is what Jesus says. Those who obey his commands are the ones who love him. It is also Jesus who says, those who love me because they obey my commands will be loved by my Father, by the Father. Not only that, Jesus says, those that obey his commands, well, the Father and Jesus will come to him and make their home with him. Jesus is basically saying right here in the scripture, okay, so you love me with all you want. Love me all you want, guys. But if you don't obey my commands, if you don't go out and make other disciples, if you don't love one another, then you don't love me. Own love all you want. You don't know what it means, is what Jesus is saying right here. And he goes on, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Oh, buddy. Are we obeying his teaching? No. Are we loving him? No. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. So based just on Jesus' words alone, do you love Jesus? Don't go based on what you think. Don't go based on what you think the church even wants you to say when you're walking in this building or any other church building around the country or the world. Go based on what Jesus says. Do you love Jesus? This right here is what's really cool about the Word of God. I do not have to be a charismatic speaker. I don't have to be a loud and obnoxious speaker or one of those guys that talks down to the congregation or one of those guys that yell at churches like so many pastors I've heard do over the years. If I preach the word and the word alone, it convicts. The word of God opens the eyes of God's people. The word of God alone draws people to God. You can be a horrible speaker, and because you know the word of God, but not just because you know it. You can be a horrible speaker, and because you love the Lord with everything you have, people's eyes are going to be open. You can be afraid to talk, afraid to bring the word of God to anyone, afraid to even talk about your faith. You could be just like Moses, and the word of God will work through you. The word of God will convict people through you. Their eyes will be open, and I think that is really cool. I think that's awesome. God is in those who are his, and God is doing the work all the time. We're not trying to earn our way into heaven. God is in us, and he's pruning off those things that are not good. God is in us, and he's continually sanctifying us. We're already justified through Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We have a free pass into heaven. Cool. I have a free pass to heaven. What's even cooler right now is Christ is working in me, and he's working in all of those who are his. How do we know this? Just look at the last words he said in the Great Commission. I am with you always. But he doesn't just say it there. He's saying it right here. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is in us, and he teaches us all we need to know. He reminds us of all the words that Christ has said, and that should excite every one of us in here. We are called to love one another. We all know those people in our lives who are hard to love. We know those brothers and sisters in the faith that are troublesome. We know those brothers and the sisters in the faith we don't like, and yet, because the Spirit is in us, we can love them. This is why we need to go to those people who were hurt. We need to go to those people who left this church, and we need to forgive them. Whether we tell it to them or not, whether we get in their face and say, I forgive you or not, we need to forgive them. And then we need to ask those people for forgiveness. We are called to be one. It's not about bringing these brothers and sisters back here. It's about obeying the Lord. And the cool thing is the Lord makes it possible. The Lord makes it possible because he's living right inside each and every one of us who are followers of Christ. And I think that, I can't keep saying it, that is really cool. But we're also called to go out and make disciples. And while that definitely raises anxiety in some of us, we have to remember the Spirit is in us. The Spirit is reminding us of the promises of the Lord. The Spirit is giving us the words we need to say when we don't know what we can say. Can it get any better than that? And all we have to do for this to start working is to trust and obey God. All we need to do for this to start working is for us to rely on the Lord. Let's be disciples. Let's throw out this term Christian that can be defined right now 40,000, maybe 100,000 different ways. Let's own what we really are. And let's start changing the world for Christ, because Jesus continues, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Can't keep saying it enough. We need to realize Christ is with us. All of those who have Christ in them, all of those who are in Christ, he's with you right now, and you have a sense of peace. As a brother and sister, we have a sense of peace that passes all understanding. Because those who are true followers, the Spirit is moving inside of you. It's working through you and refining you. Those who are true followers of Christ have hope. We have hope not in this world, but we have hope in our Lord and Savior, the one who created this world. Those who are true followers of Christ obey his commands. So as we work, as we come to the conclusion of this series, I'm throwing out the same challenge. It doesn't end now. The challenge that we've had through this whole series isn't over. We are all called to go out and make disciples. And it isn't as hard as you think it is, because the Spirit's going to work through you. Go, ask friends and family to come to church. That's real easy. The worst they can say is no. Go pick someone up and bring them to church. Go and point people to Christ in all you do. At home, your job is to point your children to Christ. For someone else, it might be pointing an unbelieving spouse to Christ, or even pointing a relative to Christ. For those at work who are called into the business field, which most of us are called to be tent makers and not professional I don't even know what I am. We are to work in a way that honors Christ. We're to work in a way where people see that there is a difference about you. There's a difference in your work mentality, in your work ethic. In the community, we all have this. We need to be honorable and we need to be respectful of others. That last part, honorable and respectful. No one deserves to be honored or respected. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, or what grades or what degrees you have. You don't deserve it. You have to earn it, no matter your age or social status. And you earn it by allowing Christ to work through you. You earn it by allowing others to see that there is a difference in you, and that difference is only one that the Holy Spirit can bring about in you. So do you love Christ? Go and obey his commandments. Go make disciples. Go make peace with all brothers and sisters in the Lord who are estranged. Go love one another. We have our charge. Do we love Christ? Or do we not love Christ? Let us pray. Lord, we have been challenged. And we've been challenged because of the hope that you have given us. You have called us to you. You have given us a charge and a command that we're supposed to follow and love others and point people to you at all times. Convict us, Lord. Give us a desire to seek you, to grow in you more, to love you more, Lord. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.